This is Over the Garden Gate, a program brought to you by the University of California Cooperative Extension Master Gardener Program of Tuolumne County. The mission of the UCCE Master Gardeners is to provide research-based gardening information to the public. If you would like to contact our Master Gardener Program, please call our hotline, which is area code 209-533-5912. The hotline is not manned full-time, but we do pick up our messages and we will get back to you within the week.
Hello, everybody. This is Debbie Powell. I'm the Master Gardener Coordinator for both Calaveras and Tuolumne Counties. But today, I have the great opportunity to talk to Tuolumne Master Gardener Lisa Page and Tuolumne Master Gardener Nancy Pikarczyk. Hello, Lisa and Nancy.
Hi, Debbie.
How are you doing?
Good.
Good. So we were talking at our virtual open garden presentation about planning your winter garden, and we didn't get a chance or an opportunity to answer questions. We ran out of time. But we thought we would continue that conversation to the radio show because, believe it or not, I've talked to a lot of master gardeners, and not everybody plants a winter garden. Sometimes people just focus on the spring and summer, gardens. So now, Lisa, you've got, I know, about 30 years of gardening experience. And Nancy, how many years of vegetable gardening experience do you have?
Oh, probably about the same, 25, 30.
25, 30. And you both have wonderful gardens. But when we were talking earlier at our open garden, virtual open garden, we showed some pictures of Lisa's garden, these beautiful, lush summer gardens. And Lisa, you were saying that can be one of the reasons why you don't actually put in a winter garden, and it's because you just can't tear down your tomato plants?
Right, because I'd say 99% of my tomato plants are indeterminate varieties, so they'll just keep going and producing up until your first frost. And I have a finite set of beds, and unless I were to leave one fallow and through the summer to have a space to put in the winter vegetables at the right time, that'd be the only way that I could do it, is leaving one fallow. The other reason is too that I start going in like January, February, and go all the way until November, and sometimes I'm just tired.
That's a good reason.
I just need a break.
That's a good reason. Nancy, now do you traditionally always have a winter garden?
Well, not always, but fairly often. What works for me, I'm a little lower than Lisa. I'm at 1750 feet. So what works for me is one year I'll put shallots, garlic, things like that in right after peppers probably. And I tend to plant mine a little late. So I tend to plant mine just before the first frost comes anyway, at my elevation, which is about mid-November. So that's when you usually pick what peppers you have left anyway and pull out the peppers.
Right.
I just do a quick improvement of the soil, and because onions are relatively heavy feeders. And I do leave one little end open so that I can plant some leeks a little earlier than that. So I just, don't use a foot or two of the end of the bed and put some leeks there earlier than I would pull out the peppers. And then I pull out peppers and put in onion and garlic, things, and shallots. And those can go in late. And then where I had onion, garlics, and shallots the year before, pretty much they come out in July, which is about when you want to think about planting things like broccoli and kale and maybe some peas and other traditional winter things. So that's where I put the other half of the winter garden. So just the two beds. It's not where the tomatoes are. It's not where the squash is. That can stay longer.
Right.
Okay.
And it moves around the garden.
Okay. How many beds altogether do you have?
Seven. Well, six really, because one, I have about a bed and a half that are perennials. Like I have some asparagus and some artichokes and some strawberries that don't move. They stay where they stay. And that bed where the artichokes is a little longer than some of the others. So part of it is artichokes and part of it rotates. So basically seven.
Okay. Okay. So that gives you a little bit of room to, like you said, rotate some of the beds or actually plant a winter garden. Now, do you have to take in consideration the different sun coverage in the wintertime as far as where you're placing your bed?
I would say so. I mean, my beds aren't anywhere, well, they're not close enough to worry about the house so much shading too much of the sun in the wintertime. But you've got to remember that your angle of your sun is going to be significantly different than in the summertime. I'm not a astronomist. There's probably a exact degree to which this direction or the other that the sun is going to, the path of the sun is going to change. But I've lived here long enough to have a pretty good idea of where the sun's going to be in the wintertime. So okay. you might have a part, plus like you've got a lot less daylight.
Okay.
Right.
How many hours of sun, I mean, if you're analyzing your garden, how many hours of sun do you need to have, you know, to be able to produce vegetables?
In the wintertime?
In the wintertime.
As much as you can manage, I think at least six hours.
6 hours. Yeah.
You know, the sun is lower in the winter, too. It never comes all the way up overhead. It's more right. towards the north and lower.
See, she's got it.
and you know, if you look out, you may notice that where the sun sets in the summer is sort of northwest.
Right.
Whereas in the winter, it's west or even southwest, sort of southwest a little. And it never goes as high in the sky. So like, for instance, to the north, no, to the north, yeah. Anyway, to the sun side, the south of my winter, of my vegetable garden, I have this huge deciduous tree that I didn't know was going to get that tall. And it sometimes loses its leaves fairly late in the fall. And let me tell you, if the sun starts to get low, it can really block the sun.
Right.
But then a little bit later, it is deciduous and all the leaves fall off and quite a bit of sun comes through its branches.
So how about preparing your garden bed for the winter vegetables? Is it any different than the summer vegetables? Do you need to add anything different?
I wouldn't say so.
Okay. So just.
Some of my other beds I put green manure crops into, things like bell beans and vetch, which make it.
Clover work.
Provide a lot of nitrogen for the next year.
Right.
And my soil tends to be deficient in calcium and sulfur. So I just put a little bit of, my brain has gone blank, gypsum in the fall and dig it in a bit along with whatever little bit of fertilizer I think the green manure crop will need, which isn't really very much because a lot of them are legumes and they make their own nitrogen.
Right.
And if you think you need phosphorus or potassium and you're going to go from rock powders, if you like to be organic, those take a while to break down and you may want to put them in the fall for next year.
So it will take them that long to break down to
like
be effective.
Yeah, a lot of them will last for years once you put them in, but
that's
you don't get very much out of them the first 4 months or so.
So let's say I put it in the spring. It might be more available by the fall and the winter. What do you think?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I know that, you know, you have to think about the brassica family is, they're heavy feeders too. So you're really going to need to amend the soil. You can't just take your tomatoes out, which are heavy feeders, and stick your summer or your winter crop in there, because they're going to need a lot of good stuff too.
Yeah, pretty much everything except for maybe peas that you plant in the winter are fairly heavy feeders. A lot of them don't have super deep roots, so it's important to keep the weeds out.
And and you want to mulch them too.
Right, that helps if you have, well, it keeps you from having the rain just pound your dirt into.
I would say if you mulched when you plant them early and it still tends to get warm, you're going to be able to keep the soil a little bit cooler.
Right, it keeps it cooler when you first plant them, when it's still broiling hot, and it keeps it warmer in the winter when it gets cold.
And speaking of the hot, I guess that if you were to plant them during the heat, and you know, you could always put some shade cloth over them to cool them down slightly. But some things like we'll want to tend to bolt if we have prolonged really high heat. And
right. The one I have the most trouble with bolting is cabbage. Like last year with that very warm December we had, all my cabbage bolted, because usually I start getting frost about the middle of November.
Right.
I didn't get any frost until the end of December, if then. It was a
I don't even think we got frost until like February.
Yeah, it was really, really late.
But that's the game with gardening. You never know what
Mother Nature is. Yeah, you just can put in what you think works for you. And it can be very different even if you're at the same elevation.
Right.
Like I always, if people ask me when they should plant things, I ask them what elevation they're at and whether they're in the bottom of where all the cold air will drain onto them.
Into a holler.
In a holler, it can be 5 degrees colder. I drive down the street to where Sullivan Creek comes, and that's a lower elevation than where I am, but it's always about 4 or 5 degrees colder than at my house.
Yeah, I'm living in a holler. I get that down cold air in the wintertime.
Yes, plus about 1,000 feet higher than me.
This
so
is true.
A lot of different, the dates really vary by quite a bit.
Right, so I could probably get away with planting earlier than Nancy could, as far as peas or things actually like cooler soil to germinate. So if you're going to try to do spinach, which can be a shorter crop, you're definitely going to have to put the seeds in the refrigerator or the freezer for a few days minimum to mimic that cold temperature that they like to germinate. Because spinach is another one that'll bolt really fast.
Well, by putting it in the refrigerator, Lisa, does that kind of give the seed an idea that they should start, you know,
moving forward with life? It mimics what they would be feeling if they were in the cool soil in the early spring.
I usually put mine in the refrigerator, not the freezer, but it's the same idea. It takes 3 or 4 days at least, and the spinach and lettuce. And I find that for lettuce, especially if you get nice fresh seed, if you rinse it a few times, that helps too. Because I believe it has something in the coating, in the seed coat, that keeps it from sprouting after just one little drippy rainstorm, and then it would all die.
Right.
You know, it has to get a rain or two if it's out in the wild before it will sprout. In the sort of cooler and the rain keeps coming. So if you're going to be supplying the water for it, but you want it to sprout a little earlier than it might by itself, if you rinse it good a time or two and put it in the refrigerator in some paper towels or something for 3 or 4 days, you can actually see them starting to sprout. If you look really close, you'll see the little white root coming out, and then you run out and you plant them and you keep them moist.
I still think that if you were to, since tomatoes tend to be a deeper rooted crop and lettuce is such a shallow rooted crop, and I could try it this year, is that if you've got space between your tomato plants, but not too much so that the sun's hitting the ground between them, you could probably get away with planting your lettuce underneath the tomatoes before you're ready to take the tomatoes out. Mind you, you wouldn't be yanking your tomatoes, the whole plant out, if your lettuce is growing, but you could cut it off. But then you would be getting that adequate water that they would need, because you're going to be watering your tomatoes. It's just a hypothetical thought, but I think that it would probably work. I have grown chicory that I had grown under my tomato plants. They were growing in the spring, and then I put the tomato plants in, and then the tomato plants grew up over them. And I literally, it looked like a head of cabbage I pulled out from underneath. I actually had to crawl underneath and harvest it, but it grew underneath the tomato plants because of the same thing that I just mentioned, the shade that it created in the coolness, it was able to keep growing. So I do believe I could get away with planting the lettuce underneath.
Mm-hmm. Now, Lisa, if somebody had questions as far as what plants to grow as a winter vegetable crop, I know one of your favorite handouts is the Central Sierra Vegetable Planting Dates, and can they find that on Facebook, maybe?
I need to put the link on there. You just reminded me that I do. I don't know that I was just going to put the link to the Central Sierra website and the directions on where, how to get to it, which I still need to go do.
Okay.
Because we never did get to the resources page.
I know that we didn't get to. Maybe another time. But how about, what do you buy, seeds or starts, when you're going to plant a winter vegetable garden?
Well, for me, I've bought, for instance, cabbage starts at the store, but not an overwintering variety. So I would plant them in the fall. This was, you know, lesson learned. Plant them in the fall thinking that I could harvest them in the spring. Well, their days to harvest were a lot shorter than overwintering. They lived through the winter once the spring and the sun hit in February, because we get those warm Februaries. It just went straight to bolting. It wasn't meant to be in the ground that long, technically. So I would say if you want to, it's going to probably be hard to come by vegetable starts, just like it was for the summer vegetables this year. So I would consider, hopefully, you probably can get seeds through the mail right now, because there's none in the nurseries that I've gone to at all, no seeds at all. But you could probably order some online. And I would consider starting things like cabbage and broccoli and the brassica family inside right now and have them ready to put out in a month or so.
And put them out maybe in August, do you think?
Into August, beginning of September.
Okay.
And for me, it's later, October probably. But it's still very warm at my house in October. Remember, for cabbage, depending on the
variety.
Yeah, you know, variety and everything. Well, you do want a longer mature, you know, not
right.
Copenhagen, for instance. Copenhagen is bad. It will bolt almost always. So something with a longer maturing, and they sell it everywhere. They sell the seeds, they sell the plants. It doesn't do well as an autumn plant, but it does pretty well if you plant it real early in the spring.
Right.
But not if you plant it in the winter. But anything, like, you want your broccoli to bolt because you're growing it for the flowers, really,
right.
The seed heads. That's what you eat on broccoli. You don't want your cabbage to bolt because you're growing it for the, you know, just before it produces a flower stalk.
Right.
So it needs to be only about, the stalk on it needs to be about like the diameter of a pencil.
Right.
Cold weather, not freezing cold, but significantly cool, arrives.
Into October, beginning of November?
Well, for me, it's November.
So at lower elevations, yeah, you can, well, you're lower,
I mean,
than you, like Jamestown, they can get away with waiting until end of November, into December most of the time. They don't get snowed on that much.
Yeah, I don't get much snow either.
No, so you can put it in later.
All my snow comes in March, if it snows at all.
My idea is that I probably wouldn't put mine in as the ground as early as September, because it's still hot, like Nancy said. but maybe consider towards the cooling off time and towards the end of September, just to be safe. I need to get mine well established in case I do get that snow, and then I can protect them from the snow. And that's another thing that we're talking about for Open Garden Day, is that you can build little structures pretty simple without having to cost you a bunch of money just to protect your stuff.
Whether it's and how and what you do depends on what your limiting factor is. If you have lots of space, I mean, plant a few a couple of weeks apart. And if some of them get too big and you know they're not going to be good, pull them out right away and put in a lettuce instead. But on the other hand, if you're really limited for space and, you know, just try to figure when your first frost date is. For me, it's right around Thanksgiving anymore. It used to be very reliably a week before Thanksgiving. If I didn't run out and pick the parsley a week before Thanksgiving, it'd all be black for Thanksgiving. But not anymore. No, now it's later than that for me.
I say you have to, just in general with anything, is keep an eye on the weather. And if you have to, get ready to go out and protect something if we get some freak early.
But you know, if you're planting seeds, and at least for cabbage, you can plant them too early. Kale and things, if it gets a little big, well, it'll still get cold. And once it gets cold, it'll get sweet. If you pick your kale before it's cool, as it gets cool, the plants put sugar into their system to protect them from the cold, and that's what makes them taste good. Kale grown in the summer, to me, it tastes horrible. People like it, but some people like bitter more than I do.
I know that my broccoli was a lot sweeter after it was the year that I had to, it got snowed on. It was covered, but the snow got on the cover, but I left it for insulation, and then once it started to melt back, I took the cover off. I know that broccoli was the sweetest broccoli I ever had.
Yeah, broccoli can be great when it's cold. And so can kale and cabbage that's been grown through the cold portion of the year, if it doesn't bolt, can be very good and sweet. Whereas if you don't plant soon enough to catch cold, it will just be not that good tasting. Like in the spring, and it grows up and it's cold, it's getting hot already, it won't be sweet. But if you can somehow get it in and not have it too mature when it starts to get cold so that it just bolts, then it will be nice and sweet when you can pick it pretty early in March or something while it's still cool. And yum, yum, really nice, sweet cabbage and broccoli and kale and yum.
If you were going to put peas in for a fall crop, what months would you put those in, Nancy?
Probably. Well, it depends on how fast a variety it is. But for me, probably late October, mid-October.
Right.
I don't know.
I'd probably
have a lot of the time, I think I'm putting them in for the fall crop.
Right.
But it's just so hot still in October. I mean, it can be 104 here in October. And the peas don't like that very much to grow. And so I try to get just after it's not quite that hot, it's cooled down some, and, you know, maybe shade them a little or water them a lot or, you know, at first. But if it's a little too late, I very seldom get a night below 25 degrees.
Right.
And with just a frost blanket, very young peas, the seedlings aren't very frost tolerant, but the slightly older plants are more frost tolerant.
Right.
So if you don't get a pea crop in the fall and, you know, you're somewhere where it usually doesn't get down like 17 or something.
Right.
That's probably too cold to nurse them through unless you put like double layers of everything and very complex. But if you usually only get down in the 20s somewhere, mid to, you know, 23 maybe, you can just throw a frost blanket over them on the cold nights or even all the time. And you know, put a little tunnel over them and you will get peas really early before it gets too hot, and they will be nice and healthy, and you will get peas for a long time if you keep picking them.
And then I was told by local farmers that if you want to plant garlic, everybody plants garlic in October. So is that when you plant your onions and your shallots?
You know, I tend to go just a little later for the actual bulb things.
Yeah.
But I go earlier if I have to plant anything from seed. Like if I want to plant onions from seed,
right,
they're still going to be too small unless you plant them in like August or September.
Right.
I mean, they're just little hairs for a while.
Right.
Fertilize them when they're babies and keep the weeds out.
Nancy and Lisa, I hate to say this, but we are just about out of time for this radio show. But I want to encourage all our listeners that if they have questions about growing a winter garden or any other question, any home garden question, to of course call our hotline of 209-533-5912. And then Lisa, you're so wonderful. You answer questions on the Facebook page too.
Yeah, I do that. Just put your questions in the message.
Yes. Thank you, everybody. Thank you, Lisa Page and Nancy Prykarsik. We'll have to talk to you again. Bye-bye.
Bye, Nancy.
Thanks.
Thank you so much for your interest in the Master Gardener program. During this COVID-19 shelter-in-place order, the Master Gardeners are still busy, but they're volunteering at home, and there's a variety of ways that they're volunteering. One of the ways that they're volunteering is they man the hotline, and the hotline is a phone number where you can leave your home gardening question, and then a Master Gardener will get back to you sometime during the week. That hotline number is area code 209-533-5912. Now, home gardening questions can also be answered by email. And the email for the Master Gardeners is mgtuolumne@ucanr.edu. Master Gardeners can also be found on the Centro Sierra website page. They do have their own page under Tuolumne Master Gardeners, but if you just Google Centro Sierra Cooperative Extension, you'll find them. They're right in the large one of the large icons of the picture of a group of people that look like they're gardening. Those are Master Gardeners. Click on that, and then you'll be able to find their webpage. So on that webpage, what are you going to find? Well, you're going to find all kinds of information. Any of the virtual online classes that is going to be happening, which we're developing more of, so that's a good place to stay tuned. But also, that gives you access to their archive of gardening articles. Those are the articles that have been featured, or actually, better yet, they are every week appear in the Union Democrat. So these are weekly articles, but this is all their weekly articles going back for quite a number of years. So also on that website, you can find links to past gardening shows, Over the Garden Gate gardening shows, but they're also on the Sonora Community Radio website, kaad-lp.org. There's just so many ways that you can get a hold of the Master Gardeners or have access to Master Gardener information. One of the best ways is to just stay tuned. You can either listen to us, you can read about us in the newspapers, you can go to the website and find out more information there. There's just a plethora of ways, or you can email us. Email, call. We want to stay connected with you, and we want to be able to answer your gardening questions, which we find very important. So thank you so much for listening, and take care.